What type of expectations do you have in life? It seems sometimes that we're born with them. From our earliest thoughts and dreams, we expect a great many things out of this life, some good, some bad. In fact, we can't really function without expectations. Whether we think we are or not, we're goal-oriented people. And that means having expectations, dreams, desires, wishes, something to aim for in life, or at least to hope for. Without that, people have no direction, no incentive to reach for something that will help us grow. Usually the greatest influence in our lives toward any of those aims is our family. How they lived, how they talked, what they dreamt of, and whether any of that communicated to us as children. On the negative side, some families, more in the past than today perhaps, or in different cultures, would put horrendous expectations on their children, something that became more of a burden than a motivation to true growth, like the parent who is openly disappointed that their child comes home with a B in some class instead of an A, until the child gets the message that no matter what they do, it's not going to be good enough. Then we enter the working world, and we find similar expectations put on us. Never thanks for a job well done, but plenty of criticism for either real or imagined mistakes. Even in the church, friendships and marriages can suffer from unconscious and wrong expectations. And oddly enough, those are usually born from our knowledge of the truth, or what we think we know. In the middle of an experience called conversion, wherein we're supposed to be learning mercy, forgiveness, and love, we can unthinkingly, unwittingly become judges of one another. He or she isn't keeping the Sabbath just right or the holy day. Don't they know it's sunset already? I wouldn't do with my life what they're doing. And so it goes. Worst of all, it often is with the best of intentions, yet without realizing it, we're putting our own expectations on someone else. For instance, if you decide someone can't be trusted, then the game's already over. There's nothing they can really do to earn your trust. You've already decided. You've chosen to expect the worst. It's a reversal of the scripture, Jesus' words, according to your faith, be it unto you. Except it comes out, according to your doubts, be it unto you. It's a principle of life. Even the world has recognized the truth of the verse in Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What we think is what we are. Which is another way of saying, what we expect is very often what we get. Bad or good. And yet, it's also an old truism that 95% of our fears won't come true, and the 5% that do won't happen the way we're expecting them. All too often, though, we pattern our lives by what we fear, by negative expectations. We live only by sight. The world's philosophy has a more perverse way of stating this. Perception is reality. It's not, of course, but sometimes we act like it is, and sometimes that's all we can do. And unfortunately, things like that can even lead to war. I've forgotten the exact details or the timeline, but this is a true story. Sometime in the Middle Ages, two armies met on the field of battle, their respective kings wanting to strike a peace, not go to war. So the kings and their lieutenants on horseback left the armies behind them in the field and rode to a middle ground where they could talk, the kings together and the lieutenants holding back a few paces. Well, while the kings talked, one of the lieutenants was looking around and he happened to notice a snake getting way too close to his horse's leg. So he drew his sword to strike the snake. And of course, you know what happened next. The opposing side saw the glint of metal in the sunlight, realized a sword was being drawn, saw this as betrayal, and launched their attack. And in the ensuing battle, multiple thousands died, all because someone had expected the worst. And unfortunately, we tend to transfer all of this into our relationship with God and whether or not He can really be trusted, whether we can rely on Him for the help that we need. We've probably all heard an old joke at one point. Man falls off a cliff, and as he's plummeting, he grabs onto some branch or cliffside, and he's hanging there over nothing, certain death. He can't climb up, and he starts calling out, "Help, help. Is anyone up there?" And finally a voice comes down from heaven and says, "Have faith, my son, and let go." And the man thinks for a moment, looks up and says, "Is there anyone else up there?" As we can readily see, just within our own life's experience, what we expect can work for us or against us. How we choose to think holds a great deal of power over what we do with our lives and what type of people we become. Yet for all this and so much more, God in the Bible tells us that He wants us to have expectations, primarily expectations of Him and the love and care He has for us. First, of course, He warns us not to expect things from the world and not even to rely on our own perceptions, our own wisdom, our expectations. You'll find that familiar reference in Proverbs 3, verse 5. But there's a further comment in Proverbs 28, verse 26, which says, "He who leans on, trusts in, and is confident of his own mind and heart is a fool." But God doesn't leave us there. In the same verse it says, "But he who walks in skillful and godly wisdom shall be delivered." And the first part, going back to Proverbs 3, verse 5, says, "Lean on, trust in, and be confident of the Lord with your whole heart and mind." In many ways, this is a world whose underlying message to us is not to expect anything from anyone, to trust in no one except maybe yourself, to lower your expectations, to fear disappointment, until ultimately belief, hope cannot exist. Faith is defeated. Life becomes jaded and love dies. Even the capacity to trust and love goes away, since trust and love always go together. But God has called us to battle against this way of death. And increasingly, it really is a battle. If we look to the Bible for our examples, we find nothing but encouragements to trust and expect the best, even in the worst of times. Or perhaps I should say, especially in the worst of times, because we're expecting the care of a loving God. If you wonder how well God is taking care of you, if you look back over your life, whether it's long or short, and can be objective for even a moment, you'll realize how well you've been cared for despite what hardships have come. As a friend pointed out to me years ago, God seems to come through for us and care for us and even enhance our lives despite our mistakes. Sometimes we make the worst decisions in the world. Sometimes we do everything we shouldn't do, and God helps us anyway. Things that should never have worked out still do. We haven't just seen this individually, but nationally. We can never deserve the favor of a perfect God, but He pours it out anyway. And that's what any loving parent would do. Along the way, there may be some hard discipline to learn, but the help and the blessings still come. I've always been brought up short by this aspect of God's character. I may be in the worst frame of mind, filled with nothing but doubt, and things work out beautifully anyway. I'll be convinced that this or that can't possibly work out. And then he rubs my face in it by making sure it does work out. And then I find myself spending some time with God, apologizing to him for not giving him credit for his love. And maybe that's the whole point. Whether it's in a massive, hopeless crisis in our lives, like Israel at the Red Sea, where all you really can do is stand still and hope for his deliverance, or whether it's in our need to step out on faith every day in everything we do, simply moving ahead on the expectation of God's presence and care in our lives, which is just what he promises. His message to us is exactly the same. We won't be disappointed. In ways which we may not always like, but will always be true, he really does have our best interests at heart. He really does want us in his family, and he'll make sure, as it says in Romans 8, that everything, all things, will work out to our benefit in the end. That end may be the particular crisis you're in, it may be the end of our lives, but we'll see that pattern in our lives. He does work everything out. And that's a fact we need to keep firmly rooted in the front of our minds. Our greatest struggles come when we forget that fact. And our greatest peace and joy comes when we choose to remember it. Because that's when we really learn who and what God is. Everything he's doing with us is designed to guarantee our part in his family. He's not trying to keep us out. He's working to confirm us and our place with him, no matter what it takes. And the more we give him the benefit of the doubt, so to speak, the more we expect the best from him in all circumstances, the greater our relationship with him will be. The more we'll lean on him, trust him, and the more we'll appreciate him. It's a process that feeds on itself. The more we choose to trust in his love and care, the more we'll see his hand in our lives, and therefore the more we'll trust in his love and care. It's circular logic at its best. Until we always expect the best from him, no matter what may come.